Hello, you guys. We got a special guest in house with us today, Luke Norby, my good friend, the godfather of two of my children,
two and a half.
Yeah, Violet, she just can't be bound.
We decided she would be ruled by no one.
She's
too independent.
Yeah, no one could. Yeah, she's like she's her own godfather. Is that weird?
She's actually my godfather.
That actually kind of works in a weird way. Luke, you're here from New York City.
New York City.
Ace Picante.
Don't eat their salsa, but do go to their theaters.
You know, and speaking of going to their theaters, we had an awesome opportunity. What was it? A month ago.
It was like 2 weeks ago. 2.5 weeks ago.
Okay, yeah. Not that long ago.
We did.
July 1st, we went and saw Hamilton with the original cast there at the Richard Rodgers Theater.
Correct.
You played an excellent host for Taya Rose and myself as we took our, I called it the dad venture. We did our dad venture, man. We went to New York City, flew out there for a few days, got to see some sights and do some cool things. So thank you for that, dude. That was radical.
It was a lot of fun to have you out there. I don't get to see a lot of my old friends from high school in New York City. I feel like I've been out there for 6.5 years, and I stand by the fact that I'll never specifically be a New Yorker. I'll always be an Oregonian in New York, and I'm proud of that.
This is the second time you've been on our podcast.
The podcast last time I was on it was called Scoop Flow.
Yeah, it's been evolving slowly.
There's a lot going on, man. Freestyle, and it was really nice to listen to you and Curly kind of rap about good things.
Yeah, he's really inappropriate sometimes.
I like that guy.
He's also from New York, so this makes sense.
That's probably why I like him.
Yeah, well, you know what? We have audio engineers now. I mean, this beast called HQ is continually changing. You come out about once a year.
I come out about once a year, but 10 years ago, there was probably about 10 of us that took over this entire building, and yeah. We all had our own rooms, and it was a very different situation.
So much space.
Yeah, there's just this building. I don't think there was even anything back there where...
No.
Yeah, that was just...
the roasters were there for the longest of times.
Yeah, but this was where the roasters even being there.
Pre-roasters, yeah. It was just empty space.
They were building the roasters, I think, as I was here.
It was post-fire.
Yeah.
You know, when we had our big fire, what was that, 2004?
Yeah, it was August of 2004.
Is when the fire was, August 8th.
Uh-huh.
The only reason I remember that, and this is going to sound wackadooed out, it's the same day that Jared Garcia died, was August 8th.
Really?
And the only reason I know that, and this is even more whacked out, is NoFX. As a bird sing, there's not a cloud in the sky, August 8th. They're like, they did a ode to Jared Garcia.
Wow.
It was kind of mean. They're a punk band, and they were like downplaying.
They said, "There's a bunch of hippies crying August 8th. It's a beautiful day."
Yeah,
I see a bunch of hippies crying August 8th. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah, that was a big time in my time at Dutch Bros. I mean, when I was here, they called me the Don Juan of Dutch Love. Yeah. I got to use the microphone in a lot of different ways when I was here. I mean, I made all the radio commercials. I did all the videos. I learned how to make videos here. I cut my teeth in video making here, and there was nobody else that was making videos here. I really had to rally pretty hard to even get the cameras and computers in my hands just to get the thing started.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun, and I had a skateboard that I would go to every opening, and we'd yell on the mic at radio shows, and sometimes we'd be on those morning news shows.
Oh yeah.
And I'd drink 8 shots of espresso and just get all hyped up and get really excited and talk about it.
You came up with a lot of interesting terms, the Dutch Love Distribution Center.
Mm-hmm. The Dutch are coming. I see that on signs now.
Oh, yeah.
That all came from one session. Before I knew anything about audio editing, I would just get on a mic and I would yell for 10 minutes. And then I'd sit behind a producer and he'd cut it into a commercial.
Yeah.
And then eventually I had to be wait a second. You mean you can just rearrange these things and make a commercial? That's awesome. And that was the earliest inclination I ever had towards getting into a computer, because you and I were actors. Back in high school, I took it a lot more seriously, but I coerced you into at least a play.
I gotta say though, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, man,
I really did. I still to this day I tell my wife that I'm gonna be an old man actor.
I believe that absolutely, because we've been dreaming and scheming about movies and plays that we want to make since we were kids. I mean, I even remember the first time we ever picked up cameras, before there was any editing ever, we would just pick up VHS cameras and stop Like there was no editing. It was like you do a take and then you stop recording and then you like go to the next scene.
We made a Of Mice and Men video.
Yeah.
We did that. What was that for language arts class or what was that class? Was it language arts? It was something.
English or language arts or something like that. Weird. But you were also highly supportive. I think you came to every play I was in, which was all of them.
Wait, yeah.
Okay, wait. Just Mice and Men. Which one was Lenny?
Hudson. No. You were Lenny.
Was it me?
You were Lenny. Hudson was George, and I think I probably held the camera.
George. Yeah, it probably was me. You were Lenny. Tell me about the rabbits, George. Yeah, tell me about the rabbits. Yeah.
That would have definitely been
it was
you.
Me.
Yeah, it was you.
Yeah, it was me. Sorry, guys.
Well, that's how I saw it.
I want to watch that video, man. Okay, we are in the midst of doing a how-to series on the podcast. So one of the things that I think is very interesting is you have really taught yourself how to do a lot of things.
I did, and Dutch Bros was a big kind of proprietor of my early education. I did teach myself next to everything. I mean, the two guys that were here running the marketing department at the time, very good friends of mine still, Adam Cuppy and Trevor Yarish, they were both like very patient with me because it's like I was always pretty like creative and wild and didn't have a ton of patience, and I wanted to throw laptops through windows. And like I remember the first time I actually went through the entire process of burning a DVD. I had to punch a hole in a door because I just did not have the patience for, like, I did it and it messed up. And I mean, it took me like 18 hours to just like, DVD burners were a hard thing. I mean, it's funny, like back in the day, it was a very different physical medium. Like you had to have a lot more patience. And that's, I mean, what's crazy is I came into it in a completely digital medium.
Yeah.
But the people before me, I mean, they're razor blading celluloid. I mean, they're winding that's tape.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, even this podcast, I did a little experimenting with a podcast. I have a podcast called Lucky Luke's Legacy Archive, where I kind of like dig into my own archive and the things that I've done over the last 15 years and in media making. I look at that and podcasting itself is actually a hard thing. I much prefer video editing, which is kind of my thing.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if you want to scroll through half an hour worth of video, you can actually do that. You can like scroll through it and see a bunch of frames and you can decide which frames you want to use like pretty quick. But with audio editing, you got to listen to the whole thing.
Right.
And decide what it is that you're going to pick and choose and like paste in there. And so, but yeah, I mean, how to do this stuff. I mean, I really learned how to do this by making Dutch Bros commercials, by making Dutch Bros videos. And I was in bands at the time. I'd make little silly music videos back then.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been very fortunate to continue to like make cool music videos with people and things that have gone on to do great things with, you know, big accolades.
Yeah. Well, I guess one of the things that you, I mean, if we're going to focus on how to do things, is that really, I mean, how to be creative is, I think, something that you've been really good at. And you've done it in a lot of different ways. Like you said, I wanted to see what doing a podcast was like, so I did that. Right now, you're actually in the midst of doing something that's really cool, is you're doing daily vlogs.
Yeah. For so many years, I've been making videos for other people, and I haven't really tried to make videos where I'm just, like, focusing on what I'm doing. The podcast kind of taught me that maybe I should like start with video editing, because it's much easier for me to edit video than it is for me to edit audio. Yeah. And just the exercise of distribution, or like the exercise, this has always been what it's about for me, is figuring out an exercise that's actually going to make you better at what you want to do. And I heard Curly say in the last podcast, you know, like find what it is that you want to do. And I've never not been creative just out of my own inclination.
Yeah.
Like everything I've always done has always been the inclination of creativity. And I think creativity and love are the closest kind of energetic qualities that exist. I mean, I think the inclination to create, I mean, that's love, man. I love creating. Not everybody has that thing. And I'm very grateful that I was like bestowed with just inclinations towards creative, you know, capacity and expanding that.
Yeah. You were saying that when you were burning a DVD for the first time, you were like, oh, you didn't have the patience.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, but I feel like that when it comes to creativity, that is the thing that happens a ton of times with people, is they're punching walls. So how do you be patient with your vision, with your creativity in your mind, this expectation that you have? It's so easy in your brain, but then when to bring it out into the real world, how do you navigate that?
It's tough, man. I mean, as a filmmaker, I feel like you always have this pristine image in your head, and then it's a series of compromises to get to the product that you're going to put out there. And you just have to be like, all right, well, I had this really cool idea, but then the camera fell down when I was doing my thing, or, you know, like,
yeah,
or the audio cut out during the thing that I was really excited about saying. And a lot of times the challenges that you face inside of a creative process, the compromises that you have to go through are your greatest gifts. You're like, that was going to be a big challenge for me, but then it ended up being the thing that I'm the most proud of, because I like figured out my way around it. And then it was, you know, it was actually a cool thing in the final product. And a lot of times the things in the process that seem really challenging end up being where you really have to use your creativity, because you have this big pristine image and that's cool. Like, you're a creative person. You have like this beautiful movie in your head. Everybody has that, I think. I think that, you know, video making or filmmaking is the closest thing to the human experience, you know, like it's the closest medium to the human experience. And so everybody has a movie in their head. Everybody thinks that their life is a movie, and the way that technology is moving in the last 15 years, everybody has the capacity to tell that story through a movie, through a video.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of challenges when you try to refine those images, when you try to like, when you're trying to like build a pristine image, that pristine image that you have in your mind, you come up with all these challenges, because you could spend the entire day just trying to light a shot, mm-hmm, or you could just like deal with what you got and get the shot and move on, you know, like, and I find myself constantly going back and forth, and this vlog is actually a great exercise, because it's like, I can't be precious with it.
Yeah.
I often find myself trying to be too precious with things, and this the vlog is a great opportunity for me to be less precious. And really just it's an exercise in distribution and getting something done.
How do you maintain that creativity, especially in the day and age we live now, where it's so easy to be distracted? It's so easy to Are you still recording? Yeah. Yeah, get out of here, man. Yeah, FNF, bro. Cracks and cracks.
Just open the doors.
Like, hey.
Some WD-40 on these doors.
Dude, we need a studio, a real studio. But someday. Well,
yeah, one day.
This is the quote. Luca was ahead of his time.
I was way ahead of my time.
I know, right? Okay, so you have this. It's too easy to not exercise your creativity nowadays. You know what I'm saying? So what do you do to maintain that? What do you do to stay motivated to actually keep going? I mean, especially with our telephones, for instance, it's so easy to be distracted, to be on social media, or to not be contributing to social media, but to let social media eat up your time, mm-hmm, or to like games or something else. So what do you do to kind of stay in that place that's continually feeding yourself?
For me, like growing into being a video dude, I was around a lot of houses where a lot of video games were being played. And while video games were being played, like video editing was my game. So I think finding those, you know, like if it's a game that keeps you engaged, then how can you engage yourself creatively in that game? I mean, if, you know, for me, being able to avoid playing Tony Hawk Pro Skater and just like stay with my, you know, Vegas video, I could be in the same room with everybody and they're playing video games and I'm doing my editing thing. And I still felt like a part of it. And I still felt like, you know, it was the same thing. Today, it's such a different thing, because it's just like you're saying, the ubiquity of like possibility inside of the technology that we're holding in our pockets at all time. It's just insane. And so like, if you look at my phone, I'm just going to pull it out. You can't see this on a podcast, but like,
so many inappropriate pictures. It's crazy. This is weird. I'm just kidding.
Look at how many folders and apps and bubbles. And it's like,
What is going on? That's a lot of emails.
I'll open my phone and then I'll
throw it on the ground.
I'll throw it on the ground. I threw it on the ground. I'll open my phone to do something and I'll forget what I was doing.
Totally.
Immediately. I won't even, it's like, I'll be like, I gotta check this email, or I gotta write this idea down or something, and I'll open it and all of a sudden I'm like, I wonder what this app does.
Yeah, you know? Wait. Oh.
I forgot I downloaded that.
How do you stay focused, or how do you stay on task?
I think it has mostly to do with intention. Setting an intention and trying to hold on to that intention.
Yeah.
Even though intentions can be so wily these days because there are so many distractions.
Violet Wiley, go on.
Violet Wiley, my godfather. It's tough, man. I mean, it can be super tough, but ultimately I think doing something with intention and holding on to the intention is how you can achieve great things. Because it's easy to be distracted, but if you're steadfast in your intention, then it's much harder to waver.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I literally last night I got home, went to my comic room and I was reading Rolling Stone article that about Hamilton,
mm-hmm.
you know, and sorry, I can't. I'm hooked obsessed, on it. Bro. I am because, and you would understand why if you saw it, man. I'm telling you.
I'm absolutely there with you.
I've listened to it probably three times since we went and saw the show and stuff. Lin-Manuel Miranda reading the article that he's talking about, all that stuff, and it's just like, man. You know, you can't help but to feel like there is this moment in time that we're given. We have this opportunity to express ourselves, to share. But man, there is so much that is trying to steal away from us, our time, you know? Yeah.
Well, I think what's so poignant about that story, I mean, like one of the biggest themes is it's like, I'm not giving away my shot.
Yeah.
You know, like, and you can't, you got to like hold on to your shot. You get one shot a lot of times to be able to do something. And he was an entirely fallible character. You can tell that. I mean, like, even in the story itself, it's like this dude fell,
yeah,
you know, like, and made bad decisions, but ultimately he held on to his shot. He held on to his intention throughout everything.
Mm-hmm.
He was steadfast in his intention, and he didn't give away his shot. He, like, you know, even though people were trying to take him down, and even though he didn't always make the best decisions,
right,
he still stayed steadfast into what it was that he believed in, which was making this country great.
Well, and then you go behind the scenes of that and seeing how this guy put together, took this piece of history to express that story, to express that intent, but to do it in a way that was so, like, new.
Totally.
Well, and unique.
I think what's so cool about him specifically is his freshman effort at a Broadway show in the mm-hmm. Heights was really about his neighborhood. And it was a similar cadence of language. It was a similar kind of slam poetry, hip hop vibe. And he was able to tell that story and it did so well. And, you know, like I said, being creative, like expanding your possibility. It's like he started with his neighborhood and then he expanded to his country.
Yeah.
And he found a cadence of language that worked and he found like a formula that was good. And once he knew that he had the team behind him, I mean, I feel like he was free
yeah.
to be able to really pursue that pristine image. And man, he knocked it out of the park.
Well, you know, it's crazy. They were talking about, he said something in that article that was so radical that I was like, dude, that's money. He said that J.J. Abrams had approached him
mm-hmm.
and Lin said, hey, if you ever need help writing cantina music. And then J.J. Abrams was like, well, actually, we're going to have a cantina scene in Star Wars Force Awakens. And he ended up writing the cantina music for Force Awakens. And he said in it, he's like, you know what? He's like, if you ever are in front of a hero of yours, don't be afraid to ask them for something. Or don't be afraid to ask them the question. I'm not going to verbatim quote it right.
That's awesome.
But it was like, when I read it, I was like, oh my gosh, dude, like, don't ever be afraid to ask, because he's like, you may never get another opportunity to see them.
There
you
never
is. To meet the them shot. Or do anything. So it's like, take, and I was like, wow, dude, like, you took the shot. Like, yeah. You took it, and it opened doors. And he's doing music for a Disney movie now, you know what I mean? And obviously, I think, listen, it's not like he's just like, oh, this guy's just some schmo that, yeah. you know, like, he put in a ton of hours, a ton of effort, a ton of work. I mean, I actually got one of the little notebooks from the show as a souvenir, and I opened it up, and on the first page it said, write day and night like you're running out of time.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, dude, yes. It's a really great article in that Rolling Stones. If you ever get a chance to read it, check it out. You could probably Google it.
Yeah, no, I didn't get to read it, but I can picture the cover.
The cover's awesome.
The cover's great. And he's such an example of what people should be doing. It's like staying creative and doing great things and trying to like, and trying not only to like present new ideas, but hearkening back to the ideas that are the foundation of this, of our civilization, of our country. You know, yeah. like he found everything that was good about our founding fathers, and he was able to like make these characters completely accessible to a modern audience.
Yeah, and relatable.
Yeah. I learned more watching Hamilton than yeah. I learned in all of our advanced placement history high school classes.
Oh man.
And we were in advanced placement.
I don't know if I was I with you?
Yeah, that's where we got our colloquial.
Oh, get along and have a conversational?
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. We used to have these like anecdotes on how to remember like advanced vocabulary words and, yeah. and colloquial, which is like conversational. It's yeah. a synonym for conversational yeah. for those of you that don't know. But I know you know that.
I know that.
Because
that's like the only one I know.
Yeah, we anchored it with colloquial, get along, and have a conversational.
So good. I could talk to you forever on this red couch.
Yeah. Maybe we can make it like an annual occasion because I'm here about once a year.
Yeah, once a year. So this is your yearly check-in with the godfather, a.k.a. the Don Juan of Dutch Love, Luke Norby. Is there anything that you would could – I mean, because I do believe that you're on to some this idea. I think that it's something that I know we've talked about before, that every single one of us has something inside of us that we can bring to the world. We are creators. We can create. But so often we are so easily distracted. So often we're so boxed in. So what would you say to the Dutch nation on how to be more creative?
I have so much admiration for the culture building that this Dutch nation has done, and I'm so happy to have been a part of any of it. But I mean, I learned a lot about just living a positive lifestyle, like trying to be positive all the time. And I feel like it's really simple, man. Think good thoughts and live a happy life.
Yeah.
You know, like don't let negative thoughts in. Live with intention, think good thoughts, have a happy life.
And don't be afraid to take your shot.
Yeah. Don't give away your shot. Take your shot. Yeah. I think that's pretty well copywritten, or else we could put it in there, right?
Wait, I don't know. Why can't we? We're not selling this.
Oh.
Well, we could. You mean play the actual?
We can't say it, but we could sing it.
You can say
it. I'm not throwing away my shot.
I'm not throwing away my shot. We're the robot version.
I am not throwing away my shot.
They're like, not throwing away my shot.
You're not doing us any favors. Please stop. We get a cease and desist. Yeah. Please stop singing our songs. People are not wanting to see it. I do, though. I think that you're absolutely right. If we could just focus on a little more positivity and a little more love and respect, it makes it easier. And here's the deal, though. It's this life isn't going to be easy. It never was. Life isn't easy. That's just how it is. Stay creative, folks. That's beautiful. All right. Well, we love you, Dutch Nation. We hope the best for all of you guys. We hope that you guys are all staying creative and staying bold. And loving each other.
Much love to the Dutch nation and my brother Brant Boersma.
Word. Oh.